those of you who have said that the patient is a product of over-rigorous toilet training. You're guessing. Now, what do we know about the patient? The most obvious facts are that he is fat and he is suicidally depressed. And we must ask ourselves, what does this accomplish for the patient? First, we will examine fat. From what the patient has said, we see that fatness, or flesh, represents maturity and masculinity to the patient. The less he feels like a man in his mind, the more he must feel like a man in his body. This is a fairly simple mechanism. And now his depression. The patient no longer finds the world attractive. It seems empty and meaningless to him. Actually, this is very common. And we know that what the patient really means is that he feels empty and worthless, lacking in ego support and narcissistic supplies. Depression and suicide, by the way, are basically hostile gestures. The violence he wishes to do himself is aim-inhibited hostility towards the person or persons who are withholding from him the needed narcissistic supplies. The patient is just furious at somebody. Let us retrace our steps. We discovered that the patient wants to lose weight. In the light of what we know about his fatness, we know that the patient believes that losing weight will enable him to return to a childlike and helpless condition in which he will be cared for. In order to become a child, he must sacrifice the mature part of himself, his masculinity, and so he wants to become a child. And who cares for children? Their mothers. Mother and child are traditionally seen as one. The patient wants to become one with his mother. But there is another drive at work here at the same time. Several times during the session, the patient has referred to himself as womanly, being frail, like the weaker sex. It appears that he not only wants to become a child, he wants to become a woman. This is reasonable, after all. If the patient actually became one with his mother in the literal sense, he would necessarily be a woman, would he not? Yeah, he would. And so the patient wants to be one with his mother and wants to be a woman. Putting fact together with fact, we see that what the patient actually wants is to be his mother. He identifies with her completely. Why is this? What does she have that the patient wants? To understand this, we must look at the patient's outburst against his uncle. Why should the patient hate him? The uncle represents no threat to the patient. We are not dealing with an Oedipal triangle here. That is to say, the patient does not feel thwarted by his uncle in a desire to marry his mother because, as we have noticed, he identifies with her. And yet, the violence of his outburst against his uncle would seem to indicate a jealous hate. A jealous hate, yeah, but not of his uncle. He is hiding his true feelings behind an apparent hostility towards his uncle because he will not admit to himself that whom he actually hates is his mother. Why? Why does he hate his mother? Because he is jealous of her. Why? Because he is in love with his uncle. Once we understand this, the entire pattern becomes clear. The patient does want to be cared for as a child, yeah, but also as a woman, and not by his mother. The patient wants to be his uncle's child bride. Unconsciously, of course. There are several facts that give support to this hypothesis. For example, notice the words the patient chooses to describe the uncle. Bloody, bawdy, lecherous, and a satyr. All of these are sexual references. Also, in our second session, the patient revealed to me that he had had an hallucination in which the spirit of his dead father had come to him and told him that he had not died from natural causes, but had been poisoned by the uncle. And what method did he use? He poured something nasty in his ear. In light of Freudian dream symbolism, the meaning of this hallucination is painfully clear, particularly when you consider that the patient and his father had the same name. the hallucination was simply a dream of wish fulfillment. Unfortunately, I cannot give a clinical analysis of the symbolism of this dream unless we want this record thoroughly banned, but let me tell you, it's pretty dirty. There are other corroborations of this, but you can go back and find them for yourself. Good practice for you. So much for diagnosis. As for therapy, I recommend it to the patient that he have a talk with his uncle, man to man, try to get some difficulties on the verbal level. It was important for the patient to regain confidence in handling his reality situation. I, unfortunately, did not see the patient again. He broke all of his subsequent appointments with me, and I was extremely curious to discover how the patient had acted on my advice. And so I sent a psychiatric social worker to his home. It was rather difficult for the caseworker to gather coherent information because most of the household had been killed, in one way or another, by the patient. Among the dead were the patient's fiancé, the brother of the patient's fiancé, the father of the patient's fiancé, the patient's stepfather, the patient's mother, and the patient himself. While this was not actually what I had in mind, it did show a certain amount of initiative on the patient's part, which is always a good sign. In conclusion, I would like to point out that this unpleasantness did not indicate that the treatment was a failure. There are no failures in psychoanalysis, because from each experience such as this, we learn. And the more we learn, the more we grow. And the more we grow, the better equipped we are to carry on our never-ending battle to stamp out mental health.